Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't hesitate because I am a thief. Cause every good
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Lifeline broadcast. I'm Apostle Shirley Jones, the senior pastor of Rehoboth Family Life Center and the host of this broadcast. Well, thank you for joining me tonight, and I pray that everyone has had a great day. To God be all the glory. Well, as always, I am just so honored and glad to be a part of this network, When Christians Speak Talk Radio Show. This network is doing such a wonderful job of kingdom building throughout the world. And we are in such a time where the gospel must be preached to give hope and encouragement. I pray that the work of this network goes even further in doing kingdom building. To God be the glory. Amen and amen and amen. Well, before I get into the message for tonight, I would like to extend an invitation to all to join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Rehoboth Family Life Center's worship service in person or via Facebook Live. Invite your family and friends to join with you. You know, this is such an awesome time to evangelize and share the good news of the gospel. And also, you can join us on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time via Zoom audio for our Bible study. And you can go to our church Facebook page to get the information to connect. So we just bless God. Hopefully we'll connect with you either during Sunday morning or on Tuesday night. To God be the glory. So, Father God, we just bless you tonight. And God, we honor you, God, and we adore you. We thank you for your loving kindness, oh God, and your faithfulness, God. You have been faithful to us. And so I pray now, Lord God, that you would just give your people an ear to hear. I pray that, God, that they will know indeed that everything going to be all right. And so, God, I just come and I offer back myself to you, Lord God. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And, Father God, I will say that it was you, because it's always you that blesses, God, that speaks, that gives, that lets us know that everything going to be all right. So I just give this broadcast back to you, and I pray, God, be glorified, be glorified, be glorified. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen, amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead and jump into the message, and actually tonight there is going to be a part two. Last month I did a message called You Got Next, and there's still a little bit more that I had, and so I'm going to go ahead and give that to you guys tonight. But before I actually get into the message for tonight, I want to share this with you. I want to say this. This has been on my heart, and I also shared this yesterday at church. When we think about the coronavirus, there has been a lot that has happened over the last 15 months. We've had at least, I believe it's 33 million people who were affected by the virus. There might have been another 600,000 people who have died from the virus. And if you look around today, we have much to thank God for. If you're still here and you're still standing, you have much to thank God for. But now what's happening is that a lot of the restrictions are being lifted. And as the Lord says, he says, the gates have been opened. Things that we couldn't do before, things that were shut down, that everything is starting to open up again. He says, but he wants us to know that he will continue to be with us and for us not to have the attitude of now footloose and fancy free. And I'm like, am I giving my age? Footloose and fancy free. And basically what that means is that we cannot go about now as if nothing has happened, that the pandemic is over, because it's not. People are still being infected. People are still dying. And so we have to still be cautious and cognizant of what we need to be doing. And he said that we should not just go around as if nothing has happened and nothing has still happened. He said there are things that we will still have to be aware of and contend with, but he said, but I'm God. He tells us to stay ever so close, because we've not been this way. We have not been this way before, that we have to stay before him and allow him to lead us and allow him to guide us. If he says that it looks like we're returning back to normal, but actually we're moving forward in the new day and new things and new ways. He says, even including you, including me, there are a lot of things that we learned about ourselves. There were some things that God told us about ourselves, some things that were birthed out of us during this time. And so he says, when you're going back to some things, not even going back, but going forward, he says, be aware of those things. He says, do not abandon the fortitude, the wisdom, the creativity, or the vision that you received during the last 15 months. He said, but let it serve you well and keep on receiving from him. So it's going to be so imperative that we stay before God during this time and not trying to just rush back to do this and rush back to do that. But what is God saying for us as far as going forward, that we have to stay before him? So I just felt like I needed to share that with this audience tonight, because I believe that it's a true factor. I've seen too many things happen. You know, people are throwing caution to the wind. But we have to seek out God in what we do and how we do it, as the gates have been open. But still, you have to know what you need to do, how you need to do it, and you need to be seeking out God and allowing him to lead us and guide us. Well, I'm going to go ahead. Like I said, this is part two tonight. You got next. You got next. And what does that really mean? I just want to just explain that a little bit again tonight. You know, there is a next that God is doing in the earth, in the church, in our personal individual lives. And the question he asks us is, you got next. Are you going to be in the next moves of God? When folks say they got next, that means that they're ready to jump in, they're ready to play, you know, they got the understanding of the game, and they got some skills. You know how people be talking trash on the court, like, oh, I got next, I can take you out, you know, I can play a little bit better. But when we're talking about the things of the kingdom, God is saying, are you ready? Are you ready that I can use you to be a blessing? Are you ready to listen for my instructions that the gospel can be preached upon the earth? Are you ready? So what we're going to do tonight again is we're going to look further at how to position ourselves to be able to truly say, I got next. I'm ready, and it is now my turn. Oh, glory to God. I am ready because God says that I'm ready, and it's now my turn to be able to make a difference in the land. So come on, we're going to look at some ways in which to do that. One of the most important thing is that we must have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We must have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Over in the book of John 16, verse 7, and also 13 to 14, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. It is so important that we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he's going to lead us and guide us in this next part. And you've got to be able to hear him, and you got to be able to obey. And I'm talking about in not just the major stuff, But I'm talking about even in everyday stuff. Prime example. I got several examples of just the ordinary stuff. I broke my glasses about a couple weeks ago. I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, the right arm of my glasses broke off. And I can't see very well without my glasses. And it was on like a Thursday, and I called around to some places that I thought I would be able to get it fixed, and I couldn't get it fixed. And someone told me about another place in Laurel, in this area where I live nearby, that I can go and get it fixed. So sure enough, I went to get it fixed, but I had to drive a little ways, and like I said, I don't see very well without my glasses. And I knew I had some prescription sunglasses that I haven't worn in a while, and so I'm like, where did I put those glasses? Where did I put those sunglasses? And when I was coming back from the first place that I went when I first broke my glasses, the Holy Spirit showed me exactly where they were. They were in, I had like this standalone jewelry case, and I had stuck them in the jewelry case. And sure enough, you know, we say, I wonder if they're really in there, but the Holy Spirit told me there was, so there should be no doubt that that's where they were. So sure enough, when I opened up one of the drawers of the jewelry case, bam, there go my sunglasses. I was like, I thank you. I am so grateful. And then yesterday morning, I get up for church on Sundays. I usually get up around 6:30, quarter to 7, you know, to spend some quiet time, look over some things for the message. And I usually set my clock for 6:45. So I was laying in bed, and I kind of roused up about 6:30, and I still laid there. I wasn't totally asleep, and laid there for a while. Then I was thinking, it came to me, it's like, but your alarm didn't go off. And look, what time is it? So when I looked at the clock, it was like 6:55. And sure enough, when I picked up my phone where I had the alarm set, instead of having a.m., it was p.m. Oh, glory to God. But the Holy Spirit alerted me to wake up and to look at the time. This is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. He is not going to allow you to miss anything that you're supposed to know, anything that you're supposed to see, and anything that you're supposed to have. He will let you know. So it's so important that you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because during this time that he's going to reveal things through dreams, through visions, and God's word. And you have to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal and give you the interpretation. That's one of the areas for myself that I dream a lot. And most of the time when I wake up, I can remember my dreams to the point I can tell you the room number. I can tell you what the person had on. I can probably recite the conversation that we had. I know that I'm in a place that I've never been before, because most of the time I'm lost or I can't find my room, and I have to wait for the interpretation. So it's so important that during this time that you have this relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you in the Spirit of truth. So if he says the Spirit of truth, that means that there's a lot of untruth that's going to be circling in the earth. But we have to allow him to lead us and guide us into perfect truth. One of the other things that we have to be cognizant of is that we have to listen and we have to obey. We have to listen and we have to obey. You guys, if you could give me 2 seconds, I hate to do this, but I'm in my office and this room is really warm, although the air is on. I need to crack this window. So give me 2 seconds. I hate to do this, but I got to do this. Guys, give me 2 seconds. Amen. It was getting a little toasty back here. I was like, okay, I got to do this, got to do this. Talking about listening and obeying. Well, throughout the Bible, whenever God was doing something great or bringing about a change upon the earth, he used man and he gave man explicit instructions. And when man listened and obeyed, victory was had and the glory of God was revealed that this was him, God the orchestrator. Well, this has not changed. I believe that we are in a dispensation of time where we are being called and shown to live in another realm and dimension of truth and know-how. The truth and know-how will help reduce stress and instill hope as we see how and as we trust the revealer, which is God of it all. It is like he's pulling back the curtain, y'all, and he's revealing things beyond us. Again, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Oh, glory to God. God is going to show us some things. He's going to show us some things that we could not even think of, things that we have never seen before. So it's so important that we've got to get in place where we can hear him, and then we can be obedient. You know, God's going to give us instructions to follow what he has called and instruct us to execute his divine plan upon the earth and even for our individual lives. God is going to tell us, y'all, what we need to do. That's why we don't have to go by this. We don't have to go by that. But it's so imperative that we hear God. And it's so important that we must hear God to do it God's way. How can you do what God wants you to do if you can't hear God? How do you know what to do if you can't hear God? God will give instructions for whatever he calls for us to do. He doesn't lead us. He doesn't leave it up to us, but he says, "I will speak to you that I'm your God and you're my people. I will give you specific instructions of what I need you to do." Prime example, Noah. Remember Noah. Noah had to build the ark. Noah ain't seen no ark. He ain't never seen no ark. He don't know nothing about no ark. You know, people were talking about him real bad, like, "What you doing, Noah? What you trying to build?" You know, and there ain't been no rain. So he looked very strange. But Noah had to get quiet. He had to stay quiet before God so that he could execute the plan in the earth. Imagine Noah was the one that was able to bring his family into the ark so that when the rain came, that he would not be the one that would be in the flood, but he would be the one to start things all over again. So this is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 14 to 22. And this is the instructions that God gave Noah. He says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall thy make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shall make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thy make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thy finish it above. And the door of the ark shall thy set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shall thy make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth." Now he's telling Noah what he's about to do, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that's in the earth shall die. But with thee, come on now, he's giving him instructions, "but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thy shall come into the ark, thy and all thy sons and thy wife and thy son's wife with thee, and all of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thy bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. Thy shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thy shall gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything that God commanded Noah to do, he did. He was very specific. Noah didn't know nothing about an ark. He didn't know how to build it. He didn't know the materials that was needed. But God was very specific. He didn't leave it up to Noah. And just like God will not leave it up to us, that whatever God would have us to do, he will give us specific instructions of what he needs us to do. And then it even gets better. Not only will he give us instructions, but then God will bring about people that have gifts and talents to be able to help us, people who have skills that are needed for the particular project that God is telling us to do, or a ministry or a business, whatever God is telling us to do. God will also raise up some people that have skills and people that you can trust that will come along with you. Over in the book of Exodus, this is where they were building the temple. And in Exodus 36:1, it says, "And then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded." Right here, he said he raised up people that had skills, and I'm actually reaping the harvest of that at Rehoboth. God told us when we opened the doors, he said, you are going to have everything that you need in the house, in the house. So that meant that God was going to send people with gifts and talents, some things that maybe I don't know how to do, but God will bring people in there that knows how to do it. That's why I thank God every day for Pastor Irma. She's our executive pastor, and she got mad skills. She got mad skills. She is very astute in so many areas, and so we work very well together. And there are some things that I may not be as technical as she is in, that but she's the one that can pull things together and be what we need. Then we have people. Even now, yesterday was our first day back as a church in the building for 15 months. But 3 weeks prior to this, we gathered about six other people. We called them the crew. And these people came in. They set up the room. They did the sound. We had somebody doing praise and worship. They set up the chairs. They made sure that the people had a place to sit. We made sure that the sanctuary was safe and clean, and they did that. So God will bring people to help you. I thank God for the people of Rehoboth, because we got mad skills. We have people that post our information for our church service on Sunday. We have people that are astute in graphics. We have people that are astute in social media. So there are so many things that arms and legs that causes something to work. But God will make sure that you have what you need. And then he said that there are times when he may not always, there are times when he will be specific in his instructions, but then there are times when he may not always give you the totality of what is forthcoming until we begin the journey out of obedience and trust. Sometimes he's not going to tell you everything at the beginning, because I think sometimes if he told us everything at the very beginning, we'd be like, or we'll become fearful, we'll become doubtful, or not only that, we would try to make it happen, because it may not move in the speed and the time that we think that it should. Prime example was Abram. He was Abram before he became Abraham. And this is over in Genesis chapter 12. It says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thy shall be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord has spoken unto him." Now right here, he told him, he says, go, leave your country, get away from your father's house, and go to the land that I'll show you. But he wasn't showing Abram until he started to move. As he started to move, he began to show him where he really wanted to go. Now he gave him a glimpse. He gave him just a glimpse. I'm going to bless you. But what did that mean to Abram? He had no children. He didn't understand any of that. Only thing he knew that God had spoke to him, and he needed to move forward. And as he moved forward, God began to show him and began to bless him. Another person in the Bible was Elijah. Remember when Elijah, this is over in 1 Kings chapter 17, and Elijah was told to go to the brook. He says, get to the brook. Go to the brook, he said, because what had happened was he told Ahab that there was going to be no dew or no rain upon the earth according to the word of the Lord. And he knew that people were going to come against him. So he says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, come on now. Come on now. How many of us would have said, I must have ate something that didn't agree with me. I don't believe God going to do something like that. Why would God do that? But he said, go to the brook, he says, and drink of the brook, and I am going to command the ravens to feed thee. So he went, and he did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee, hiding him for his protection. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So there are times when God may give you some strange instructions. I mean, imagine, you know, he's telling us the raven's going to feed you, and you're going to drink out of the brook, and yah. And then you're there for a while, and the brook dries up, and now he's telling you to go to this woman, you know, and she's going to feed you. And we know how the story goes. He gets there, and there's a lot of issues with that. But God, a lot of times, wants to see is, are we going to trust him, regardless of how he tells us, what he tells us? If you got next, you got to get to a place where you trust in God, that you're going to trust him and that you're going to believe him, and that whatever instructions that you believe that he told you, and you're getting it from the Holy Spirit, you prayed about it, you're seeking him out, you're staying in his face, and you know that God has told you to do this. I have had God tell me some strange things, but I knew that he was God, and I've seen him do too many things. And so when he would tell me to do something that didn't seem like in the natural realm, because now, you know, God will deal in the natural, but he deals in the spirit. So there are times when he will tell you something that may seem a little far-fetched, but you got to trust God that he's going to bring it to pass. Elijah went on and did what God told him to do. He knew that God was doing it for his protection, so he knew that God was going to take care of him. He would not take him and then forget about him. And we have to remember that if God tells you to go, then you got to go. Whatever God tells you to do, then you have to trust him and be obedient that he has you, and he is going to work it out. Oh, glory to God. When you got next, you gotta be ready. You got to be ready and say, but God, whatever you tell me to do, God, whatever you tell me to do, God, I'm going to trust you, God, and I am going to believe you to bring it to pass. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Then we have to be obedient to what God tells us to do. When we are disobedient, this is what happens in our disobedience. This is King Saul. Remember King Saul. This is 1 Samuel 15. And Samuel said, has the Lord a great delight? Now, this is when God told him to kill everybody. Don't take anything to kill everybody. Don't take no ants. Don't take nothing. But he said, Samuel says, has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Because here was King Saul said that, you know, well, we took some animals, you know, we're going to make sacrifices unto the Lord. But Samuel said, but that ain't what God told you to do. He didn't tell you to do that. He didn't need you to make sacrifice and offerings. He needed you to be obedient. And he said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And let me say this, that, you know, a lot of times what we say is, but, you know, I've always been like this. You know, I got a hard head. You know, I know the fire is hot, they told me, but I didn't believe it. I had to put my finger in there, and then my finger almost burnt off. You know, that's not cute, y'all. Come on now. That's not cute. We've got to be able to believe God and be obedient to what he says. We are bringing conflict into our lives because we are not obeying the word of God. We are not obeying what God has told us to do. If we look at our lives, wherever there is conflict, I need you, God, to think about this. Where there is conflict in your life, the first thing you need to do is question, am I being obedient to the things of God? Number two, have I sought God out for directions? Too many times we are moving and we have not consulted God, and then we want God to bless what he hasn't even called. He is not going to do that. He says, I need you to come to me and ask me, is this what I would have you to do? God will bless only what he has called. We have got to get to a place that we are not just leaning to our own understanding, but we are allowing God to lead us and guide us so that we can get rid of the conflict in our lives. We will lose when we are not obedient to the things of God. God knows so many more things than us. God can see beyond today. God can see into tomorrow. God can see into eternity. And God already knows the things that will be forthcoming. So when God says don't do it, then guess what, y'all? Let's not do it. Let's not do it. Let's not do it, because we're bringing conflict into our lives. We're bringing conflict into our family's life. We are cutting off our blessings. I don't know about you, but I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up no blessings, and I do not like to do a retest. I don't want to do it again and again and again, and maybe this time I'll get it right. But we got to get to a place where God, I'm seeking you out, God. I'm going to believe your word, and I'm going to do what you say for me to do. It's not to rebel against God. And this is what happens to King Saul. He says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from becoming king. And what was really interesting to me in this text is this is in 1 Samuel 15, but if you go to chapter 13, remember this is where Samuel told Saul, I'm going to meet you in Gilgal and wait for me for 7 days. And King Saul didn't wait. He waited, and then he got nervous because it was about on the 7th day and Samuel hadn't showed up yet. But it said that he started to act as if he was a priest. He was not a priest. He was a king, not a priest. And he started making sacrifices, excuse me, unto the Lord. As soon as he did that, the Bible says that as soon as he did that, Samuel shows up and asks him, what are you doing? He told him then that the kingdom would not continue, and he's choosing another to be captain over the people. So this was not the first time. God had told him in chapter 13 that you got to be obedient, but here now in chapter 15, he does the same thing all over again. But this time, it's really going to be taken from him. Oh, glory to God. We've got to be able to be obedient to the voice of God. When we do not pay attention to what he says, then what happens is that we are going to lose. Let me say this to somebody right now. God has spoken and God has told you what you need to do. But for whatever reason, you know, your fear or your doubt or your friends, you know, they told you that they don't think it was God. But it might not have been the God that they know. But you got to stand on the God that you know. Whatever you have decided to go contrary based on somebody else's conversation with you, I say this to you tonight. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because if you go contrary to what God has told you, you are going to lose. You're going to lose more than what you have gained. Oh, glory to God. Somebody needs to hear that. I feel that in my spirit tonight. I feel that you got to be obedient to God. Wherever God told you to do, if God told you to wait, if God told you not to take that job, if God told you not to marry that person, if God told you to cut off that relationship, if God told you that you're not to move now, not that you wasn't going to move, but not to move now, then don't move now. Wait on God. I've seen God do it too many times when I wanted to do it and I thought it was time. But then as I sat before God and got a word in my spirit, I knew I had to wait. But then in my waiting, when it was time to go, I had more to go than what I would have had if I went there. Come on now. Come on now. Don't give up your blessings. I'm saying that to somebody right now. Do not move now. Wait on God. Wait on God. If you're not sure what God says, go back to him. Go back to him and God, I'm not sure what you said. Make it, God, could you tell me again what you want me to do? But don't just go out on what somebody else told you to do. You will lose more than you would have gained. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you tonight, be still and know that he's God and be obedient to what he's asked you to do and what he's told you to do. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23 says, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Oh, hallelujah, that it may be well unto you, that it may be well unto you, that it may be well unto you. There are blessings behind our obedience to the plans of God, to the words of God. Whatever God tells us, it shall be well. 1 John 2:17 says, but he that does the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We're talking about getting in the position that we got next, that we can be in the move of God. Wherever God is doing something upon the earth, he calls man to be a part of that. Come on now. God is looking. He's looking for us to be a part, to be his hands upon the earth, his voice upon the earth, for us to make a difference even in our homes, in our own families. But we've got to be able to hear God and be obedient to him. Also in Proverbs 3, chapter 5, to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Obey even when your flesh does not understand. Hear me now. Remember the times that you did not obey. There were always consequences. Think about that. He does know so much more than we do. Think about those times when you moved ahead of God. Think of those times when you moved out of disobedience. Think of those times when you didn't seek God out and all hell broke loose. And now we're going to God. He said, but you never asked me. I didn't tell you to do that. But now you want me to. Now God is a loving father now. He'll get us out of that jam. But he said, but you brought on calamity in your home and with your family that was not necessary because you did not ask me. But we've got to trust in him, not leaning to our own understanding. I don't know it like God. I've got to acknowledge him in all my ways and let him direct my path. I can't do it like God. I don't know what God knows, but if we allow him to direct us and lead us, then we shall abide forever. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he's even saying to us tonight, there is so much more that I have for you and for us to do. He said, spend time with me that you may receive instructions for our journey now and ahead. Know that the old ways of doing things will not suffice, and therefore you must do it my way. Listen for my instructions and obey that you and your family may be forever blessed. New day, new things, and new ways. Oh, glory to God. The gates are opening. Opening. Do not be so pressed that we're trying to go back to what it used to be. But God is still saying to us tonight, new day, new things, and new ways, that we got to stay before him and we've got to allow him to speak to us and lead us and guide us. Oh, hallelujah. So let's look tonight just for a few minutes. We're going to look. We're going to take a glimpse at some folks that took next, laying the foundation for each of us to be able to take next. They did. If they did, we can. Remember the book of Romans, Romans 15, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures may have hope. The word, that's why it's so imperative that you stay in the word. What does the word say? There's no situation that you are confronted with that somebody in the word did not go through. Or there is not an antidote in the word to get us out of whatever situation that we may find ourselves in. Remember when Jesus was being tempted by the enemy, He didn't say nothing cute. All he said was, it is written. He gave him back the word. The only thing that's going to back the enemy up off of you is the word. The word. And if we search the word out, it brings about peace. It brings about patience. And it brings about comfort. And it brings about hope. You've got to stay in the word. Sunday morning is not enough. Do not look for the pastor or the speaker to just give you a word. But you got to know the word for yourself every day. I'm not talking about you got to read for 4 hours a day, but you got to read. You got to read. You got to read the word. You got to listen to the word. You got to feed yourself the word so that your flesh will not be in control. That's the word I was looking for. So the flesh does not be in control when you're feeding the spirit. Whatever you feed the most is the one that's going to rule. If you feeding your flesh and you ain't got no word, then your flesh is going to be in control and will lead you down a dark path and a path that you will lose. But let's look at some folks. Let's look at some folks, y'all, that took next. And Elijah, I love this. Elijah and Elijah. And this is over in 1 Kings 19. And God instructs Elijah to anoint Elisha as a prophet in his stead. In other words, he's telling him, he says, I want you to mentor him as next, so that when you leave, then he's going to be the next in line. So Elijah, he departed, and he found Elijah, and he went, and he was there plowing with his father's oxen, and he threw his mantle on him, and he's asked him, can I go and kiss my mother and father? And he does that, but then he follows Elijah, and he serves Elijah. Matter of fact, he walked with him, and he served him about 6 years or more. Oh, hallelujah. But right here, he was being mentored, y'all. He was being mentored. Whenever God is sending you someplace, there are things that he will show you prior to you being the one that got to do it, before you got to take next. I am so blessed by my journey prior to becoming the pastor of Rehoboth Family Life Center, because God prepared me when I didn't even know I was being prepared. I used to pray all the time. I prayed from the very beginning all the time. And once I moved here, I was ordained as a pastor, and I was part of the Women's Steering Committee. I was on the board of directors. I was over the educational department. I even taught the kids. I wrote some of the curriculum. So I knew about the finances. I actually preached and I taught, and I was MC in some places. And God just kept, even on my job that I had, it sent me into boardrooms to be able to talk to some people and to do some presentations. All of this was preparing me to be the pastor of Rehoboth Family Life Center. But that's what God does. He will prepare you. That's why you got to listen and let the process be the process. Don't skip anything because you're tired or you want this to be over. Every place that God has you is further preparing you for the next place. Well, Elijah, before he actually was taken up into a whirlwind to heaven, he actually mentored Elijah because he was going to be the next person that took his place. And then we see over in 2 Kings chapter 2, I believe it is, verse 1 to 15, and this is where now Elijah is getting ready to go up. God's getting ready to take him up. And he said, Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. He took also the mantle of Elijah and that fell from him. And he went back, and he stood by the bank of Jordan, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted thither, and Elijah went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah does rest on Elijah. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Oh, hallelujah. Right here, he had next. Hey, because he got the opportunity to walk with him. He got the opportunity to learn what he did and how he loved God and how God spoke to him. He walked and he served him 6 years or more. And now it's on Elijah to now become the prophet. And it's said that Elijah actually recorded, it's recorded that he did 28 miracles, and Elijah did only 14 miracles. Not just 14, but he did 14. But remember, he says, I want a double portion of your anointing. Oh, hallelujah. So he did twice as many miracles as the one that mentored him. But he wasn't asking for a double portion to be all, you know, I want to be better than you. No, he knew that this boy was bad, and he needed whatever he had that he could be what God has called him to be. Hallelujah. God will prepare you even when you don't think that you're the one to do it. Prime example was with Gideon. Remember Gideon, and this is in Judges chapter 6, and it says, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thy shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And as it goes on, we know that God gave him instructions. But here it was. Gideon was like, I can't do this. You know, my family's poor, and I am the least in my family's house, but it ain't got nothing to do with us. Get out your head. Stop thinking about, well, I can't do this, and I don't know this, and I don't know that. But when you know God, I know there are times when I would say, I don't have a clue. And he said, Shirley, stop saying that. You have more than a clue because you know me. And if I am sending you, know that I will tell you what to do. I will fortify you. I will instruct you. I will give you the anointing. I will give you the power, and I will give you everything that you need. So someone right now, God has told you to write a book. He's told you to, especially, let me stop right there, to write a book, and you'd be like, but who going to read? Nobody's going to read my book. It's not up to you to figure out who's going to read your book. If God said write the book, write the book. If God said start the ministry, start the ministry. If God said start the business, start the business. It's not up to you to go ahead and try to forecast what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. This is where, y'all, we got to trust God that he know when he chose you, he know what you were like. He know what you didn't have. He knew Gideon was from a poor family, but it wasn't based on Gideon. It was based on what God was going to do with Gideon. The same thing with us. God is going to use us to do what is needed. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So stop looking at you, what's in your head, what you know. None of that. Where you live, where you work, none of that. Begin to look at God and know that God is calling you, and you have to do what God has asked you to do. And I made up a new word, y'all. The word is a final nexer, final nexer. And I know that ain't a word for you English majors. Nexer is not a word. But Jesus Christ is the ultimate and the final nexer that paved the way for us. Oh, God, hallelujah. He showed us that he indeed was the ultimate and the final nexer. There was nobody after him. Matthew 26:39, it says, remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. And that's where we got to be, y'all. Not my will, but let thy will be done. I am so glad when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He stayed there, y'all. He stayed there for me and you, that we would have the opportunity to be able to be the next thing that God's going to use upon the earth. It's we got his spirit. And he's showing us that I am sitting now on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. Oh, glory to God, for us, that we can be all that God has called us to be. We got next. God is calling us. Stop looking at you. When he said it was finished, everything that we would ever go through, and the enemy would play the guilt card on you. He'll say, how can God use you? All the junk that was in your life, all the stuff that you did, this is what he does. But Jesus said, but I come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. Come on now. There are things that God is calling us to do. We've had to be able to hear him. We got to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We've got to be able to be obedient. We have to trust him, and we have to stay in the word, and we have to fortify ourselves so that the things that God is doing upon the earth. Let me say this. I believe, and I got this just over the weekend, that there is a new world order. The world does not look like, and it's not going to look like what it used to do after this pandemic. Things are going to change. You've got to be able to get it in the spirit. Don't try to rush back and do it the way you used to do it, because that is not going to work. There's been some new things, some different things, and you've got to get this in your spirit so that you'll be able to move in the next thing that God is doing upon the earth. 1 Corinthians 15 says, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory, y'all, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, that whatever God is asking you to do, God is going to fortify you. He's going to give you instructions. He's going to give you what you need so that you'll be able to step into the place in which he's calling you. And I say to you tonight that there are things that God is calling us to do. Let's not sit on the anointing. Let's not sit on the provisions. Let's not sit on anything that God has asked us to do so that we can be all that God has called us to be. So I want you to say this with me tonight. I got next, and it is my turn in Jesus' name. Come on, wherever you are tonight. Come on, say that with me. Come on. I got next, and it is my turn in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. I got next because God is saying he wants to use us, y'all. He wants to use us upon the earth. He wants to use us in our homes, but we've got to be obedient. We've got to follow his lead. We got to be able to listen. We got to be able to write that book, start that ministry, start that business, move to that town that he told you to move to. Don't become stagnated, but do what God has asked you to do. And when you don't know what to do, then you got to go to God. God, I don't understand. Excuse me. But God, I'm coming to you, the author and the finisher of my faith. God, I don't have this and I don't have that, but you're telling me to do this and you're telling me to do that. How do I do it, God? Then you go to God. How do I do it? God, you said to do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't have the funds to do it. So you got to show me, God, and don't tell me that God won't show us how to do it. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him so that he may direct your path. And indeed, you'll be able to say, I got next, and it is my turn in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got next. It is my turn in Jesus' name. So, Father God, we just bless you tonight. Yeah, God, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you, God, and we give you praise, and we give you honor, and we give you glory, God. We thank you for your loving kindness, oh, God, and your tender mercies, and there's nothing too hard for you, that, God, that you're able to do everything and anything but fail. We bless you, and we honor you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray that, God, that you would bless the people tonight. I pray that, God, that they will understand that, God, that they got a next. They got a next. That you're calling them to be next. You're calling them to be next in their home, in their families, on their job, in their city, in their state, in the world, God. There's books, God, on this line, this broadcast tonight. There's ministries to be birthed out. There's books to be written. There's businesses to be started. There are projects to be completed. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. There are words. There's ministry. There's spiritual gifts. There's prophets on this line. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got a word in your belly. Hallelujah. Let that word come forth and bless the nation. Oh, some of us are called to the nation. Hallelujah. That you shall go forth and you shall be all that God has called you to be. Oh, and don't despise the small things. Let God work right where you're at and build you up. So when he sends you forth, you'll have everything you need. Let the process be the process. Do not be distracted. Do not be distracted. Watch who you share the vision with, because they need to be able to hear God like you hear God. If they can't hear God, then they don't have anything to be able to encourage you with. Stay in the word. Stay in the word. Hallelujah. I know that it's so. There's gifts. There's marketers on this broadcast. There's graphic artists. There's songwriters. Oh, there's so much that God has for us that he wants to use us during this time. Don't try to just pick up where you left off. I couldn't pick up from yesterday. I couldn't pick up for the message that I preached like 15 months ago. I had to sit before God and see where God wants to launch us and propel us off from. Ask God to show you, what do I do now, Lord God? What do I do now? I don't want to run back to what I knew, but I want to go forward, God, in the new day, new things, a new way, that I can be what you call me to be, because I got next and it's my turn. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, we bless you tonight. We bless you. And let me say this tonight. If you are on the line, on the broadcast of me tonight, and you've never asked Jesus Christ to just to be your priority and that he would be all that you need to go forward, let me say this, that you can't do it like he can do it. You'll struggle. You will struggle. You will be confused. You will be depressed. You'll be a lot of things. But with God, he makes it all right. He makes it all right. So I just ask that you would pray this with me tonight, that I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I ask for forgiveness. And Jesus, I ask that you would be my priority. I may not understand how this all works, but I know that you'll show me how. I don't want to do it on my own anymore, but I want to be led and I want to be kept. So I'm asking that you would do so for me tonight. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. So if you're on the broadcast with me and you prayed that with me tonight, then send me an email or send me a text, send me something so that I'll know that it was you and I can send some more information to you. You can get in contact with me. You can go to my website, ShirleyJJonesMinistries.com, or you can even go to our website, Rehoboth Family Life Center, and you can find information about the church as well. But send me something so that I'll be able to send you some information. You can also send me an email at apostlesjones@rehobothflc.org. That's apostlesjones@rehoboth. That's rehobothflc.org. And I'll be sure to contact you. So bless God. Bless God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just thank you guys for joining me this evening. Know that there indeed is more. Look for it, y'all. Look for it. Look for it. Look for the new days, the new things, and new ways. Don't long for the old stuff, y'all. Come on now. There's so much more that God has for us. Not looking back, but looking forward. So join me again next month and invite some folks to come and join with us as well. So God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Don't forget, you got next. It's your turn, in Jesus' name.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also, be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. But praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.